We'll begin reading in verse number 5 tonight. We took care of verses 1 through 4 last Wednesday night. And we'll begin reading in verse number 5 tonight. And we'll read down, or we'll be teaching verses 5 through 8, the Lord being our helper. And we'll start in verse number 1. We'll read all of it. Verses 1 through 8. But we'll, like I said, we'll start in teaching in verse number 5 tonight. But let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said this, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, to stand before you tonight. Lord, I pray that you take my heart, my mind, my body, Lord, God, today. And Lord, I pray that you would use it for your honor and your glory. I pray that my speaking and my teaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but Lord, in the demonstration and spirit of power, Lord, I pray that, God, that you would give us, Lord, God, the words to speak. Lord, enlighten our eyes to the Scripture. God, I pray for these that's in the congregation tonight. I pray you'd anoint their ears. God, give them ears to hear, a heart to understand. Lord, I pray the Word of God, Lord, would have free course in their life. I pray you would encourage us and use us, Lord, as we go through this study. Thank you, Lord, again for loving us. Thank you for your precious Word. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Once again, it's good to see you. Verse number 5, we're going to pick up there in the book of Romans and chapter number 4. We're going to talk, if you're taking notes tonight, verse number 5, we're outlining the fourth chapter with ease. And verse number 5 is the ease of faith. The ease of faith. Now notice here what it says. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." I'll never forget, we were working one day in the chicken house moving slats, and I had built me an apparatus that goes on the bobcat, and we don't move them by hand, we move them by machine. And a guy come in, and he was watching us, and he said, "I've learned one thing." He said, "Y'all are smart around here." And my dad said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well," he said, "my daddy always said," he said, "don't go to work for a lazy man. You'll never get nothing done." He said, "But go to work for a smart man, because he'll figure out the easy way to do it." And I don't like work. I'll just be honest with you. And I know the Bible teaches if a man don't work, he ought not eat. But man, it's been rough these last couple of days, you know, especially Monday. And it goes from cool to 90 degrees and blazing hot and humidity high. I don't like working, but I don't like working for my salvation either. Hey man, think about that just for a moment. The Bible said this, "But to him that worketh not," and if we're not careful, we'll say that, well, that's a lazy man's gospel. Well, it is a lazy man's gospel, but at the same time, remember this. The Bible said this, that faith without works is dead. James said, "You show me your faith without your work, and I'll show you my faith by my works." We don't have to work to get saved. We don't have to work to stay saved, but we ought to work because we are saved. Amen? We don't have to work to get saved. We don't have to work to stay saved, but we ought to work because we are saved. We ought to let our work show forth the love of Christ and the character of Christian of a Christian in our life. But to him that worketh not, and notice there, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 7. And we're going to look there, and I'm not going to go back and about not working, because we kind of taught on that last week, remember. And I know we're kind of pulling this out, but if you wasn't here last week or you hadn't listened to last week's, go back and listen to it. But we talked about that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace, and that works gets us nowhere. And so we're just kind of continuation in here, and we're seeing the ease of faith. But because we see here in this scripture, and I'll get there to Exodus in just a moment, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. When we see that, if we're not careful, we'll think, well, that, and this will explain the reason that I use the ease of faith. It's pretty easy to get saved. It does take rocket science. It's made that a child can understand. Think about it. The ease of faith. You've been dealt the measure of faith according to the book of Romans. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not everybody's going to have a different amount. Everybody's got the same measure, and it's what they do with that measure. That's how far they get in their life with Christ. And we're going to talk about a little more in just a minute about faith and the key and all that. But understand this. It is faith, and it's pretty simple. You say, well, it's hard. No, it's really not. We make a choice to believe. God's give us that faith inside of us, and we make that choice to use it. Now, we want to make salvation hard. Now, we know, and we were studying through Sunday school, and if you want to go back and listen to the foundations of salvation on Sunday mornings, those are on the website, and they're also on Facebook, but you can go back and listen to them. And I'm not talking about that salvation is easy and cheap. We don't have a cheap salvation. It costs a lot. It costs the Lord His everything to save someone like you and I. But understand this, it's made so simple, and it's so easy. You and I didn't have to bring a bull, we didn't have to bring a goat, we didn't have to go get a turtle dove, we didn't have to crawl 3 miles on our hands and knees to the church. And remember, I shared that with you about that lady there in Mexico when we went to town there, and the lady there was on the steps, crawling up the steps of the Catholic Church, and I asked the missionary what was going on. I said, why is she crawling? Is she crippled? And he said, oh no. He said, if you'll notice, he said, her knees are bloody, and you'll notice her hands are bloody, and she had crawled for like 3 or 4 miles down the side of the road to get to the church because she felt unworthy to go in. And then as we watched her, she got there up the steps and was looking in. She never would stick her whole head in the door. She would only peep around and look because she did not have any money to put in to get to go in to that. Thank God I didn't have to crawl on my hands and knees. Hey, I did have to repent. I had to humble myself and repent of my sins. Ask the Lord to forgive me, but all I did was believe in faith that He would keep His promise to me, and I got gloriously born again by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. And understand this, that's probably the easiest thing that I have ever done in my life. Think about it. Probably the easiest thing I've ever done is when I got saved. Now, there was some labor in it on some part because I wrestled with really wanting to be saved. But when that very moment, when I decided that I wanted to get saved, it's pretty easy. So the ease of faith. I'm saved by faith. I'm by grace through faith. It's not of our works. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. We see that worketh not, but now let's look in here in this verse and see the wicked made righteous. The wicked made righteous. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 7. Look at what God wrote in the law in that verse. He said, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. Notice what he said here, for I will not justify the wicked. The Bible said in another place, God will not at all acquit the wicked. But we see here in Romans chapter 4, verse number 5, that to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. God just said that He would not justify the wicked. Now let me clarify that. There's no way that you and I can be justified outside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God cannot, will not, ever, never justify you without faith. Now, he said he would not at all justify, I will not justify the wicked. You know, it amazes me how we as humans, how that we try to justify ourselves before God. How that we try to trade off. You know, we're not much different than children trying to justify their wrongdoings, really, when it comes to it. Well, you know, Lord, if she hadn't have said that, I would probably not have been mad. You know, Lord, if he hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have had to pop off. Yeah? Lord, if you'd have blessed me the way that you blessed them, Lord, I wouldn't be jealous. You understand? We're trying to justify. God said, I'm not going to justify the wicked. He said, there's nothing that you can do to justify your wickedness. But notice here in this verse, when the ease of faith comes in, and that man or that woman believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, notice what happens. We see his faith is counted for righteousness. Notice the enumeration of righteousness here in this verse. We've seen the ease of faith. Now notice the enumeration of righteousness. It has been counted for righteousness. The word enumeration means to give account to or to count up, bring the sum to. Counted for righteousness. What has been counted for righteousness? His faith. You mean not his going to church? No. Not his prayer life? No. Not because he was born into a certain family? No. Not because he put money in the offering plate? No. Not because his daddy was a preacher? No. His faith, or her faith, is counted for righteousness. The only thing that will make you and I righteous before God is our faith in God. Nothing else. Remember, if you go back to verse number 4, if we work, then God owes us something. Because now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if God is if I'm counting my good works then and I'm bringing them before God, then I'm saying, okay, God, here is my works, here's my Bible reading, here's the moments, the minutes, the hours that I prayed, here's the times that I go to church, here's the times that I put money in the offering plate. Lord, count them up and make me righteous. God, that ain't how it works. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The enumeration of righteousness. Faith, listen, think about this just for a moment. Faith is the simple key that unlocks a big door. I mean, think about that just for a moment. To be saved or to be found righteous in the sight of God, all a man must do is believe the Word of God for what it says. And not just believe the Word of God, but believe in the God of the Word. And that the God of the Word would keep His promises that He's made in the Word of God. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So when you and I place our faith in that Word of God, we got justified. Pretty simple. But man, what a big door that little simple key opened up. Look how far faith has got you. As we were reading, Tina and I was reading through the book of Matthew together this morning. And we was reading through chapter number 6 and chapter number 7. We were there. And I got to noticing about belief and faith all throughout that chapter. It's like 5 or 6 times in Matthew chapter 6. And God done some amazing things, some great miracles because of people's faith. But man, the greatest miracle was when He saved and made righteous somebody wicked like you and me. And the thing, look at all that He's done for you by faith and through faith since then. Faith is a simple key that unlocks a big door. I mean, man, look at all that you got when you got saved. I mean, man, what did it take to unlock that? A little old key called faith. That's all it was. It's a simple key that unlocks a big door. Your simple faith is more powerful and valuable than all the works that you can do or could ever do. You could work now, from now for the next million years, listen to me, and do good works every day, never do any bad works, and faith is still more powerful than your good works. Ain't that amazing? How you believe in God and what you believe, how you respond and react to His Word is more powerful than all the good works that you could ever do. Your faith is more powerful. Now, we see here that it's counted. And then I want to bring this out to you. If you will study the Bible out in Romans chapter number 4, and I didn't have time to, I should have went back and underlined all these, but I didn't. I went and I looked at them, but I didn't mark them all for so that I could mark them for you. But if you'll go by and 11 times in Romans chapter number 4, the word reckoned, counted, or imputed is used. 11 times. In 25 verses. And they all have the implication of meaning counted for righteousness. Or to account for something. And you study that out, so that's just a little study for you to go home and look at. But I want you to understand, the only thing that accounts for righteousness in mine and your life is our faith. Now, notice here, let's look at the example by David. The Bible said this in verse number 6, even as David would also describe the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord, to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The example by David. Now remember, he had referred to Abraham in verse number 2. He had referred to the Jews and the Gentiles back in verse number, or chapter number 3. But here in chapter number 4, he begins to speak of Abraham, but he had referred to him, but now he uses David to drive the point home. See, you understand this, what are you saying? He said it wasn't just Abraham that was justified by works. It wasn't just him who God called from the land of the Chaldeans and followed him by faith. He said, but even David himself, the man after God's own heart, the man upon whom the Spirit of God came and never left, even David is justified by works. So he's given another example. Remember, they looked to Abraham as the great father. But then they looked to David as the great king. And he referred back to these characters. And he said, look, he said, the father Abraham, he was justified by faith. And even your father David, the great king that he was justified by faith. Now, if you have Bibles, go to Psalms chapter 32. This is where he was referring to. Psalms chapter number 32. And what was going on here in Psalms chapter number 32, it's by many writers, it's believed that David was rehearsing this psalm and writing it, or he penned this psalm during the time after that he had sinned with Bathsheba and after he had made it right with God in Psalms number 51, and then David penned this psalm here. Leading verse number 1, And the Bible said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whom spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. What he was talking about that, he said, when I failed to confess the sin that was in my life, when I tried to hide it, When he, remember, he had tried to hide it for over 9, 10 months. We know for over 9 months because the child was born. We know it's probably 10, 11, or 12 months at least because the child died, was old enough to die. So David had said this. He said, when I kept silence, he said, what happened inside of me? He said, my bones roared. He said, there was something going on inside of me because I was keeping my sin, trying to keep my sin silent before God. And he said, my moisture had turned into drought. He said, I was dry. But notice what he said, verse number 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You know what the best thing you and I can do is confess it. Quit trying to tote it around. Quit trying to debate with God, because we're going to look what happens when we confess our sins. We're going to look at what happened that moment when we exercised our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He paid the debt on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And we're going to look at what He did for us. And He did that, and it's an eternal work. It's already done. It's not that He has to redo it. We're not getting recount. I mean, it's not that we're getting resaved. It's not a redone. We're not being re-justified. We're not being re-imputed. Understand this. These things have already been accomplished. And as he was referring back to David and the sin that he had in his life, notice what he said here about this blessed man. Go back to Romans chapter number 4. The Bible said this, David also subscribed the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, I want you to notice here. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. And I'm going to bring out three things right here. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. That's number one. The word to forgive means to send it away. Means to send it away. To take it away from you. Psalms 103, verse number 12, you can write this down. I don't want you to turn because I don't have time to go look at all of them tonight. But Psalms 103, verse number 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He has sent it away as far as the east is from the west. He has forgiven our sins. And He has sent them away as far as the east is from the west. He's removed them from us. He sent them away. Isaiah 43:25 said this, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You know why He chooses not to remember them? Because they are sent as far away as the east is from the west. What, as the old song says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. It's not the fact that He doesn't want to. It's not the fact that He can't. It's the fact that He has chosen not to remember our sins because He has forgiven us and He has sent them away from us as far as the east is from the west. Why did He do that? Why did God forgive us? And why, there's three things that Paul mentions here and three things that David mentioned. Why did God forgive us like that? Why did He send our sins as far away from us? Well, you ever thought about this? Let me ask you a question. When you've not forgiven somebody, do you like them to come into your presence? You don't like them to be around, do you? Now remember, God said, I'll not justify the wicked. Y'all remember that? He said, I'll not at all acquit the wicked. But when he, even I, by faith, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our justification took place, and he forgave our sins as far as the east is from the west, he did that so that we could come into his presence. He has no reservations about us. We're not wicked anymore. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But he has forgiven us of our sins. He has sent them away from us so that we may be able to come into his presence. Now look at this one. Look in this one. He says, blessed is the man whose sins, iniquities are forgiven. Look at verse number 7. Whose sins are covered. Do you know why your sin is covered? Now, I want you to think about this just one moment. Now, remember this. He's forgiven you and sent them as far as the east is from the west so that you can come into his presence. But he's also covered them so that God can look upon you. Think about this just a moment. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you. Isaiah 1:15 says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Deuteronomy 32:20 says, I'll hide my face from them. Ezekiel 39:23, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they trespassed against me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. You know why your sins are not just forgiven, but why they're covered? Because he don't have to hide his face from you anymore. He can look upon you. See, God cannot at all acquit the wicked, and He can't look upon sin because our sins have hid His face from us. But because He's covered us, He's forgiven us, but He's covered us. And if you're under the cover, guess what? He can't see your sin. What cover is it under? It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. I'm not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy to remind, what is, mind you, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. We're covered. We're blessed. Because, number one, our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and He chooses not to remember them. And then, our sins are covered. And He can look upon us, not that we can just come into His presence, but that He can look upon us. Do you realize that God is looking upon you? God's not looking upon that lost man out there. He can't see. Why? Because his face is hid. But God's face is not hid from you. He's not turned his face away from you. Why? Because your sins are covered. What? How did all this happen? By faith. You see the simple key that the big that it is, and the big door that it opened. God's not hiding His face from you anymore. Not only that one, notice this one. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The word impute means to charge or to attribute to. You and I are guilty. But the Lord does not charge us as guilty. Now think about this just for a moment. It's one thing for you not to want someone you've not forgiven to come into your presence. It's another thing for you not to want to go into the presence of someone you've wronged. Right? someone that you've trespassed against. Someone, why is that? Because you feel guilty. You feel shame. And you're like, I know I'm wrong and I'm too proud to say I'm sorry. I'm too proud to ask forgiveness. So you don't want to go into their presence because they're charging you as guilty. And maybe they're not, but you still feel that way. Right? Well, look at this. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Our guilt's been removed. So, our sins have been forgiven, so we're able to come into His presence. Our sin has been covered so that He's able to look upon us. Our guilt has been removed and He's not imputed guilt against us. We are justified in the sight of God so that you and I can have confidence that we can come into His presence. Does that make sense? Look at this verse. Paul said this, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. I'll be closing here in just a moment. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says, I'm not found in Him having my own righteousness. He says, I'm found in Him having His righteousness. And that righteousness comes by faith. He's not imputed guilt to me, even though I'm guilty. He's imputed righteousness to me because of faith. And I can come into His presence. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. Look, go to these verses. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Page 1294 if you got a Scofield Bible. Verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come, how? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. How many times have you went before God with the feeling of reservation and guilt? You know what? That's a lie of the devil. Because the Lord's not imputed sin against you. He's not charged you as guilty. He's charged you as forgiven. He's not just charged you as forgiven. He's forgiven you and removed them as far as the east is from the west. He's charged you as justified, just as if you've never sinned. He's charged you. He's imputed unto you the righteousness of Christ. Remember, Paul said, I'm being found in Him. He said, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that is in Christ. And you and I can come boldly, have confidence to come before God because He don't find us guilty. Does that make sense? Now look and go to Hebrews chapter number 7. Turn over another page. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Do you realize you've been made perfect before God? Well, I don't feel it. I didn't say you was perfect. I'm in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 19. I didn't say you were perfect. I said you were made perfect. The sacrifice was perfect. You're made perfect because He fulfilled everything perfect. And because He is perfect. And you has the righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto you. Not the guilt of your sin, but the righteousness of Christ. When God charges you, He doesn't charge you as guilty. He charges you as righteous. Now, well, let's look at one more. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. Verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I want to hinge on verse number 19 and verse 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You and I can have confidence to come before God, number one, because our sins have been forgiven. They've been removed as far as the east is from the west, and He doesn't remember them anymore. Number two, our sins have been covered. He's not hiding His face from us anymore. And number three, we have been charged as righteous and not guilty, because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto us, not the guilt of our sin. So you and I can have confidence, and we can draw near in full assurance before God. Because understand this, what the Bible, the writer in Hebrew was talking about is a figure, was the true, which that on the earth in the book of Exodus, and God tied this all in together with me this morning. Remember, Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. He said this, and He's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And He's talking about the holiest of holies. And this is His words to Moses. And there I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. He says, that's where I'll commune with thee. That's where I'll meet with thee. Jesus Christ has entered into the holiest of holies in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews, with His own blood. And now remember, in the Old Testament, there was only one man, one time a year, that was able to go into the holy place. One time, one man. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross, fulfilled the law that we talked about in Romans chapter 3 and chapter number 2, He fulfilled that law to the very jot and very tittle. He died, He who knew no sin, was made sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. And He did all of that so that you and I could commune with God. And you and I don't have to bow our head in shame. Don't have to worry about guilt. Because when you and I exercise our faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness was imputed unto us, and we were justified by faith according to Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, we have peace with God. Well, I don't always feel like it. I don't always live like it. Well, doesn't change the fact. Remember, it's not about how we feel. It's about what He's done. It's about what He says. Now, let me throw this in here. And then why do I feel guilt of sin? Why do I feel conviction in my life? Why am I like David and feel that my moisture has turned to drought? Why do I feel that my bones are roaring inside of me? Because you've not confessed all that sin. And so you still have the Holy Ghost of God dwelling and living inside of you, and He can't fellowship with sin with you and be a witness to you when you have sin in your life. You've broken fellowship. But it doesn't change the fact that you're standing before God just as if you never sinned. Guess what? I'm a blessed man. David said, blessed is the man. What more could you ask for? What more could God give you than what He's already done? Oh, how blessed we are Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to share the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've not imputed, Lord, imputed our iniquities unto us. And Lord,